Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
From an opportunity abducted to a moment missed for the Hornets, ecstasy against Liverpool undone by defeat at Palace, with Ayew agonisingly giving Roy's boys a third straight win and a third straight clean sheet for the first time since March 2017. The third game in that particular run, a 1-0 win over Watford. Funny how football works, but not so funny about coronavirus and its impact throughout the world of sport. Three Leicester players currently in isolation ahead of the game at Vicarage Road this weekend. What does it all mean? We're going to be getting into that. We'll analyse the loss at Selhurst Park and we'll touch on what, if anything, Nigel Pearson has in reserve for the remaining nine games on this, the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It's me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast. Hello, Andy.
Good evening, Matt. How are we doing?
Good, thank you. Great having you with us on this fine Thursday evening. Tom Wicks from the Golden Pages fanzine is here too. Hello, Tom.
Hiya.
Great having you with us, guys. Now, I did say we're going to get on to last week's game. Of course, we're going to look ahead to the game with Leicester and everything in between. But we must address the elephant in the room, coronavirus. It is simply too big to ignore. Now, before I come to you two chaps, Boris Johnson did address the nation earlier on today. And here specifically is what he had to say about how coronavirus might potentially not quite yet affect the world of sport.
The scientific advice, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, is that banning such events will have little effect on the spread. But there is also the issue of the burden that such events can place on public services.
That was Boris Johnson there speaking about coronavirus earlier on today. He did address the nation regarding the fact that we are obviously moving into a very different stage of that containment to potentially delaying the issue here in the UK. Andy, I thought it was slightly mixed, that message, because he's basically saying, listen, everything's going to go ahead as normal, but we might need to make a contingency moving forward. He used the word burden and the fact that these sporting events could be a burden on the nation with regards to coronavirus. As a football fan yourself, as a Watford fan going to the game this weekend, especially with the news that three Leicester players are now currently in isolation, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it was a bit odd, wasn't it? Because he then went on to basically say that more people are going to die.
I know that. I mean, that part of it was. I mean, we want our PM to be honest, right? We want him to be frank. That's what we ask of him all the time. And if anything, politicians are regarded for being a bit cloak and dagger. But he's come out and been brutally honest here. But you can't help think that he's going to get a bit of backlash for that.
Yeah, well, I'll keep my opinions about Boris to myself. I think I'm here to talk about football, not politics. Do you know, I'm quite shocked that the game's going ahead. But we, you know, like, I'm not an expert, I'm not a scientist. We have to listen to the scientific advice that is being given. And until we get the red flag that says that these sporting events cannot continue, then I will continue to go to the football. But I think we as fans, you know, have a responsibility when we attend these events to listen to the advice that we're being given. If you are experiencing flu-like symptoms, be safe, self-isolate, call 111 if you've got any concerns. And fans that are going to the games, adhere to the hygiene rules, wash your hands. But also football clubs as well have that responsibility to provide fans with good facilities in order to maintain proper hygiene whilst we're there. You know, make sure the soap's filled up in the toilets, etc. Little things like that. So I'm very, very surprised the game is going ahead, especially with the news today that the three Leicester players obviously haven't tested positive for coronavirus. That we need to make that clear. They have not tested positive for it. They are just showing signs of possible symptoms. So they're taking the necessary precautions. But really shocked. And I think it's a little bit unfair, dare I say, on Leicester. Yes, as a Watford fan, I sit here and I want to play a weakened Leicester team. I want Watford to have the best chance possible of winning. But I think, given the circumstances, this isn't just a little bit of food poisoning that's doing the rounds in one squad. This is a worldwide global official pandemic as defined by the World Health Organization. So I think I'm very shocked. And I think the Premier League or the government even just needed to be maybe a little bit more sensible. But until we get told that everything's cancelled, I'll still be going. But we as fans have a responsibility to look after ourselves and look after each other.
Yep, absolutely agree with you, Andy. Tom, it's all starting to feel a little bit more real now, isn't it? Especially with the news, like Andy said, about Leicester there. And it is important, Andy, you're right, to just stress that they haven't been tested positive. They are purely in isolation. But there's also been the postponement of Mariappa's 10 men. Eddie Mariappa, of course, having an event recently, or due to have an event recently at the club. And that has been postponed. They said, listen, after much consideration, it's not been purely cancelled. It's just been postponed. But that event isn't going ahead because of the outbreak of coronavirus. So it's all just starting to feel a little bit real. And speaking to some of the guys in the studio today, of course, we have fans come in for the football fan shows, and they've said themselves, listen, I take my mum, I take my dad, I take my grandparents sometimes to football, and I'm actually a bit concerned about taking them to the games because of those of a slightly older demographic, of course, they're more likely to potentially get it.
Yeah, it's hugely concerning. All the news that we're hearing from around the world is that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. In terms of football, it does seem a bit strange in the UK that that there aren't any kind of changes or anything being implemented with large sporting events such as the Premier League, whereas you look at Serie A, who've suspended games until April. La Liga have had their next two match days suspended. There's a couple of leagues that are playing fixtures behind closed doors, but obviously, that's not the position that we're taking. And again, like Andy, I'm not a health expert, but we've got to have faith in the experts' opinions and just be vigilant. I think that's the best thing that we can do, really.
Yeah, also important to stress that we're not health experts at all. And it's difficult, isn't it, when you speak about this, because you can have an opinion on what you think, but ultimately we don't know exactly what precautions should definitely be taken. Andy, a lot of games are being played behind closed doors. We've seen it again in the Europa League. We saw it in the Champions League. I don't know whether you caught them, but I was watching LASK v Manchester United earlier. I was watching Borussia Dortmund and PSG yesterday, and it's just bizarre. I know we've seen behind closed doors games before, Croatia, England being a high profile example on the international stage that directly involved all of us as England fans, but it's just bizarre, isn't it? It doesn't seem quite right. Now, where do you stand on games being held behind closed doors? Would you rather see them go ahead, or would you prefer the whole operation to be cancelled in order for fans to eventually attend those games?
No, I absolutely hate the idea of behind closed doors. I think we had the perfect example literally in the last 2 days. We had the incredible scenes at Anfield last night, which again, bizarre because Madrid is on lockdown and 3,000 odd fans from Spain are flying over. But that's what made it brilliant. You imagine that game going ahead and the scenes in the away end when Madrid Atletico scored those goals in extra time. And just imagine that in just a completely silent stadium and just a few applause on the sidelines from their team. It saps everything out of football. And it's not just football, you know, rugby, even cricket. You know, imagine going on an Ashes tour without the Barmy Army. It just completely spoils the whole spectacle of live sport. And I completely understand it. You know, obviously it's to stop, try and restrict the spread of this virus. But as a, you know, as a season ticket holder, if I was told that the game will be played behind closed doors on Saturday, yeah, okay, the game's on TV and I'd probably end up watching it. But that's not the same as being there, is it? You know, I think there's a huge thing to be said for the home advantage in sport. There's loads of research that's been done on invasion games, especially the likes of hockey and NFL over in the States, and the effect that the home advantage has. And, you know, Watford are in a relegation battle and we need every point we can get. And I think, you know, taking away, forgetting the atmosphere, sort of, you know, people have paid money, etc., for season tickets, whatever. Having that home advantage, having that crowd in that stadium to encourage the team and watch them perform and have that home advantage effect would potentially make an impact and potentially almost negatively affect Watford's season. We've got some very winnable home fixtures coming up, like against the likes of Newcastle, Southampton, Norwich. And if fans aren't able to attend those games, then potentially that home advantage is lessened. And so I would rather personally the games are just postponed and rearranged on a Tuesday night, and I'm happy to make any travel arrangements in order to watch my team.
Lovely stuff. That's Andy Lewis there from the Hornets Nest podcast, just giving his interpretation of behind closed doors games. It's obviously not what fans want. It's going to be quite an incredible story to the end of the season. Who knows what is going to happen? This is the Watford Fan Show. We're going to be looking ahead to that game with Leicester, talking a bit of injuries, to looking back at that game. Of course, that disappointing result against Crystal Palace last weekend. But just remember that to take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill, our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited, and Churchill Van is arranged and administered by Brightside Insurances Services Limited.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Watford Fans Show here, me, Matt Beadle, with Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast. Tom Wicks from Golden Pages Fanzine is with us too. A reminder that from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you are listening to us right now on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Just press the auto-tune refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you do not miss your favourite shows right here on Love Sport. Of course, which this is one. Now, Tom, we are going to quickly reflect on that game against Crystal Palace last weekend, of course. The previous weekend, there was that seven-match winless streak ended emphatically against Liverpool. Coming into this one, Palace, Roy Hodgson, of course, had a new one-year deal. That made him the oldest manager in Premier League history. They had two wins on the bounce. They did make it three for the first time since May 2018. The first time since March 2017 they've managed to do it without even conceding. It was a tough afternoon, wasn't it? Nigel Pearson did say after the game that it was an opportunity missed.
Yeah, I mean, it was the crushing dose of reality that we've come to expect as Watford fans. So there was a slight air of inevitability about it. But I think it's hard to disagree with Nigel Pearson's comments there. I think certainly we dominated the early part of the game until Ayew's goal, which was a, you know, uncharacteristically sloppy piece of blocking, which, despite our defensive concerns, we're usually not too bad about. And that was their first chance as well. I just felt that we really lacked the influence and threat of De La Feu. Certainly with Sarr's resurgence and his incredible performance against Liverpool, that was a threat that we had. But they seemed to nullify that with relative ease. And you know, once you go a goal down against Palace, it's going to be difficult to get anything from it. And that proved the case in this game.
Andy, Tom mentioned Gerard Deulofeu. We know that he's now out now until the end of the season. Roberto Pereira essentially, came in as a like-for-like, really, for Deulofeu. Quite similar in certain ways as players. This is an opportunity now for him, isn't it? And he might not look at that and say, listen, I don't need an opportunity. I'm Roberto Pereira. I don't need an opportunity to prove myself in this Watford team. But this is now where he really needs to step up and be the player that we know he can be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly important, not just for his career if he wants to move on, but also for Watford's survival in the Premier League. And I think it's difficult when he did an interview. It must have been during the January transfer window, where he was saying that he basically wants to move on from Watford. He wants to change his scenery, and I've got nothing against that. I don't see anything wrong with a player wanting to move on if he's done all that he feels he can do at Watford. Fair enough. But it must be so difficult to maybe motivate a player that clearly maybe doesn't want to be at the club and wants a new challenge and wants to move on. It's so difficult to sort of psych himself up and get himself, or coaches get him in the right place mentally to be up for this kind of scrap. He has to put the work rate in, and there's only nine games to go, but how difficult is it to try and G himself up for that when he knows in 9 games time he's probably going to be wearing a Watford shirt for the final time? And it is difficult, and it's frustrating, because when he came on in the Liverpool game he was excellent, and then like you say, against Palace, just a completely different player. But we know he's got that talent and capability to change the game, and we just need to see that attitude, dare I say, that he's up for the fight and willing to work to keep his place in the squad.
It's all very well coming on against the Liverpool side, though, isn't it, where Watford have got their tails up, but against the Palace side at Selhurst Park, a difficult place sometimes to go. And is this then, Andy, in terms of what you're suggesting there, it's difficult to G him up for the remaining 9 games of the season because he basically feels like he's going to move on at the end of it. Is this where Nigel Pearson has to make an executive decision and go, do you know what, you're not part of my plans next season, we're not part of your plans next season, let's just opt for Danny Welbeck, let's opt for Ignacio Pesetto, let's opt for Andre Gray, even three of those coming off the bench last week, failing to really have an impact, but potential options to fill in that slot?
I don't really think we've got that luxury at the moment, to be perfectly honest. I think I've not been blown away by Pusetto since he came in. Maybe if he had, if he sort of hit the ground running and shown maybe a little bit more in the games that he has played, then maybe there's that competitive edge. But Pereira's is a better player, and he's the best option that we have in that position. I don't think any of the other players sort of fit in as well in that position as Bobby does. So it's very difficult, because you want to put out your best squads, but then you also want to put out the players who you know are going to give you 100%, and we didn't see that from Bobby on Saturday. So a very difficult scenario for Nigel and Craig to deal with.
It does seem like a difficult scenario. And those subs that did come on, Tom, towards the end of the game, what a double substitution, quarter of an hour before the end of the game, Andre Gray coming on almost as the token, go on lad, try and get us a goal 5 minutes from time. Now, I know what Andy's saying there with regards to limited resources, Tom, but is that any aspect of Nigel Pearson's managerial style, Craig Shakespeare there as well, that maybe he does need to work on in terms of tactical changes within games, or is it literally out of his hands because he doesn't have, like Andy said, the resources, the opportunities to be able to actually do that?
I think as a manager, you always got to have the ability and the desire to self-reflect, but I don't think Nigel Pearson's done much wrong this campaign. It's largely up to the players, really. I think we've got a talented squad, and he's knitted them together in the games that he's been in charge. Obviously, the Palace game, he threw on some attackers late on, Welbeck and Gray, as you said, in the hope to get to nick a goal, but you've got to look at the players, and they're incredibly talented players. They've got to step up and get us out of this mess. It's not. I don't think you can lay any of the blame at Pearson's door, especially for the Palace game.
And the game coming up, Tom, of course, it is Leicester City this weekend at the cauldron that is Vicarage Road. That's at least what it was against Liverpool. Daryl Yanmark, he might be back since the first time in November, of course. We know that another fullback, Ricardo Pereira, is out. He looks like he's going to be out. Well, he's definitely going to be out until the end of the season, but even for the start of the next. How do you see this one going?
I think, again, it's going to be another tight one. I mean, you could say that about any of the remaining games, really. I mean, we've got relatively good home form Leicester have got relatively bad form, but you know they're rightfully where they are at the top of the league, so it's obviously going to be a very tough game. I think, as Will Hughes said, our home form running into the last stretch is going to be massively important. And you know we're going to be looking to make it difficult for them and to hopefully you know exploit them on the break and maybe use SAR and learn from the Palace game a little bit better. And hopefully, you know, have some of the attacking players express themselves and try and have a go from outside the box instead of trying to walk it in as we tried to do against Palace.
Andy, for you, this one, of course, Watford failing to score in 13 games so far this season, but 13 points from 6 home games under Nigel Pearson. That is second only to Liverpool over the same period of time. So quite clearly, we know there's been an improvement under Nigel Pearson. We've spoken about it many, many times. Kiko Femenia has come out this week and spoken of the difference that Nigel Pearson has made. This one is massive though, isn't it? I know that we keep saying it with 9 games to go, every game is massive. But to return to winning ways after the disappointment of last weekend, this one is arguably bigger than Palace. And ultimately, if we were to look at Liverpool and Palace over the course of, you know, 2 games in the space of, what, 10 days or so, you probably would have taken 3 points from 6.
Yeah, arguably. You know, it is frustrating though to have beaten the best side in the world and then lost to Crystal Palace. You know, once you take the 3 points from Liverpool, you want to sort of back it up. But yeah, I mean, like you say, every game's massive. You know, some clubs down at the bottom have got some really difficult games coming up. You know, West Ham have got Wolves this coming weekend. Aston Villa have got Chelsea. Brighton are at home to Arsenal. If we're able, like Tom said, Leicester aren't coming in with great form. I think it's 2 wins from their last 8 games. And Villa were shocking against Leicester on Monday night. And I don't know who the 3 players are that are self-isolating. Mm. So I'm hoping one of them's Jamie Vardy. Obviously, hope he makes a quick recovery. I'm not that mean. So I've got no idea what sort of Leicester side will be facing. But like you say, that home form is going to be so crucial going into these final 9 games. And it should hopefully be a decent fixture. Obviously, you've got the added story of Nigel Pearson coming up against Leicester for the first time since he left. So it's going to be a really interesting game. And I think, you know, if Leicester players want any sort of space from set pieces, all they need to do is just cough in the direction of the Watford defenders. And they'll get a few free headers on goal. So Don't be careful for that.
Certainly a good tactic there. Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast, thank you very much for joining us. Tom Wicks of the Golden Pages fanzine, thank you very much for joining us. Watford hosting Leicester City this weekend. As Andy said there, Nigel Pearson coming up against his old employers, of course, before departing in 2015, just 1 year before they went on to win that incredible Premier League title. Brendan Rodgers, of course, started his managerial career with Watford all the way back in 2008. This will be his 200th Premier League match as manager. Jamie Vardy, as Andy said there, just needs one more goal to make it 100 in the Premier League. So many stats coming into this one. What is the result going to be? Big win for Watford, of course. They do need a victory just to give themselves a bit more hope in that relegation scrap. We'll bring you all the reaction to the match next weekend on the Watford Fan Show here on Love Sport London, 8:30. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.